Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Irish scientist Rosemary Coogan has graduated from space training as a new European Space Agency astronaut, and it means that Rosemary is now eligible for a space flight. Good afternoon, Rosemary. Thanks for joining us in the programme. How do you feel about the idea of going to space?
Oh, I'm feeling absolutely elated this week. It's been a fantastic year, but it really was the highlight so far has been this graduation we had on Monday with the rest of my classmates, finishing our basic training and, as you say, becoming eligible for space flight. So we're so excited to be starting these next steps towards a mission.
Congratulations. Because this is something you've always wanted to do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Ever since I was tiny, I've always wanted to be an astronaut. It's always been a dream, but it's not always been really clear to me how to achieve it. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of people. So I think it's an important message to say that, of course, when you're interested in something, you should absolutely follow it. But just persevere with what you're interested in and the path will become clearer.
Where did that childhood dream come from, do you think?
As far as I can remember, I have always been interested in space. I think it was really space itself that captured me. So, I think that's one of the really powerful things about space is how it does have that potential to grab people for outreach, for inspiration. I was an astrophysicist before I started the training, and I love the images of galaxies, both kind of distant galaxies and galaxies in our more local universe. And I think just the extreme environment of space. And then, of course, if you can go to space as an astronaut and do that science to bring back to Earth, I mean, that is perfect.
But this is the thing. You haven't, I suppose, just gone to space school or space training as such. You're highly accomplished master's degrees, a doctorate in astronomy. And was this, I suppose, then the idea of getting into the space agency, the European Space Agency? Was that, I suppose, the pinnacle of this?
Yeah, I suppose, I think really until my early 20s, it wasn't really clear to me whether or not it was ever going to be possible to become an astronaut. So although it's something I'd always wanted to do, I didn't necessarily do things that I thought this is what I need to do to become an astronaut. I followed the path that I found most interesting. And then in my early 20s, I became aware of the possibility of really applying as an astronaut through the European Space Agency and became aware of the fact that I would have to potentially wait an undefined amount of time before the applications open again. But things did start to get more focused then in terms of thinking about actually what is required, what could look good on my CV, mm-hmm. and becoming more focused on it. But until then, it was really just following what I loved.
I follow you on Instagram. And the training just looks grueling at best. And I don't even know, just at the extreme levels of being so tough at worst. How was the training? Talk us through it, Rosemary.
The training has been absolutely fantastic. We've had almost 13 months of our basic training, which is the first stage of training that we go through on our path to going to space. And it's been a real mixture this year. It's been lots of theoretical or classroom-based training. With everything from engineering and the systems on board the International Space Station to photography classes, earth science and geology, and then very practical trainings, which is probably what you've maybe seen a little bit more about. That's the centrifuge training, parabolic flight, winter survival, open water survival in case of unexpected landing sites. So it's been hugely varied this year. Fantastic.
Is that why you train underwater? Is that why this scuba training comes into it?
Yeah, so the underwater training is actually to train for EVAs, to train for spacewalks. And on Earth, apart from the short kind of experience of zero gravity that you can have on a parabolic flight, which is already really useful, if you want to practice for a spacewalk, which can take hours and hours, you need a way of simulating that zero gravity, that idea of kind of floating whilst you're doing a spacewalk. And so you can go underwater and adjust your buoyancy so that you're essentially neutral buoyant, you're floating. And then we have these huge real-sized modules of the International Space Station, which we put underwater, and you practice a spacewalk underwater.
Is that hard to change your kind of your normal everyday movement to do that?
It is. It's very, very different to how we move around, both in gravity and it's all about translating with your hands for a start. You're not walking around. We call it a space walk, but probably actually it's quite misleading, because you're completely translating using handrails on the outside of the modules. You have to be tethered in at least two points to the station at all times for safety. And there's a very strict regime, one might say, in terms of swapping tethers on and off the rails as you move around the space station. So there's a lot to learn.
So
definitely,
if you get a space flight or you get to go to space, like, what are the temperatures like and how do you then train for that?
So inside the space station, it's actually completely temperature controlled. Of course, inside the space station, the whole environment is completely controlled, so that we have atmosphere, so we can breathe, so we can live, and that includes the temperature. And we have it at more or less a normal room temperature, you might describe it as. But outside, for a spacewalk, the temperatures can be really extreme and really variable. And that's one of the things that being in the spacesuit, in the EVA suit, protects you from.
Did you need to be like super physically fit, Rosemary, to even go to the European Space Agency, you know, to train in the first place for this?
The requirements for selection were being healthy, I would say, rather than being extremely physically fit. We did have a fitness test, a cardiovascular fitness test. So they do put a number on that. And so you do need to be within kind of normal, healthy thresholds. But the most important thing is really having a positive outlook in terms of having a long-term healthy career. And being fit is very, very important, but it'll become more important now that we have been selected, as we start to look towards going on a mission, because you need to be very fit when you reach space in order to try and maintain that fitness throughout the mission, which naturally degrades during a zero gravity, long duration exposure. Mm.
And for you, like, what does that mean day to day? Like, how do you maintain that level of fitness?
So throughout basic training, we've had a dedicated fitness team who have really guided us and helped us with that. Around 6 hours a week, I would say, of guided training with them. And they've really shown us lots of ways to maintain full body fitness, but with a bit of an emphasis on exercises that we know that we'll need to do in space. So we have a couple of exercise machines on the International Space Station. So we need to be particularly proficient in using those.
Yeah. Why? So that if you were in space, you still need to do a level of training there.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're in microgravity, essentially because you're not walking around, you're floating, you're not using an awful lot of your muscles that you use day to day on Earth. And because of that, your muscles, if left without any additional training, would just start to degrade. You'd start to lose muscle mass. And essentially, when you came back to Earth, you wouldn't be healthy anymore. You wouldn't have enough muscle to carry on the normal day-to-day activities. So you have to do a couple of hours of exercise every day in space to build up those muscles to resist the effect of zero gravity.
So do you bring weights with you, or like, there's hardly treadmills there?
There's three exercise machines on the space station at the moment. One is a treadmill. One is an exercise bike, so they're both quite focused on the kind of cardio side of things. And one is it's a machine called ARED, which is essentially a bit like a weights machine. So you can do squats and deadlifts and really work those muscles.
That's just not how I ever imagined anybody in space would be doing, that you'd be basically going to the gym when you're there. It's fascinating. You often hear, Rosemary, that, like, you know, as part of the training, and I don't know, you can tell me if this is right or not, but do you have other skills that you have to learn, like medical, surgical skills, in the event if you were there and there was a medical emergency?
Yeah, so both the theoretical side of the effects on the human body in space, and also starting to look at emergencies, has been part of basic training. So things like basic stitching, we'll be doing some field medical training, so really going and working with medical professionals in the next few years to deepen those skills. And interestingly, actually, last week on the parabolic flight, so we were able to have zero gravity for around 22 seconds at a time for 30 travelers. And we were practicing how to do CPR, because if you try the traditional method of doing CPR,
it's
on Earth,
tough anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough, you know, but you'd find that instead of pushing downwards on the patient, you would just float upwards. And so you need to develop entirely new techniques to do that.
Wow.
So yeah, the emergency medical training is really important. Of course, the resources on the station are limited. Luckily, we haven't had the situation where we've had to evacuate for a medical emergency that couldn't be dealt with. But yeah, these are really important parts of the training.
So you basically have to be a sort of a more than a first aider, but not quite a paramedic.
Well, I think, as you say, yeah, you certainly need all of the basic first aid skills. For the more detailed things, yeah, we're really lucky that we're supported on ground. We can essentially use tools like ultrasounds, and we can have experts saying, oh, can you shift it slightly? Can you move this way, that way? So we're really guided in the when we need an expert. But yeah, for these first aids, we're,
so
we need to be ready.
So now that you have graduated from the space training at the European Space Agency, Rosemary, like, what's the likelihood now of you getting to space, or do you have any idea around a timeline of when this might happen?
So the five of us who graduated from ESA on Monday, we're very lucky in that we know that our first mission will be to the International Space Station for a duration of 6 months. So it'll be a long duration mission to the ISS. So that's incredibly exciting. That is what our training is now focusing towards. And we know that we'll go separately, one by one, and that'll be sometime between 2026 and 2030. So by the end of the next few years, we'll have all successfully carried out our missions, I hope.
Wow. Are you scared at all about this, sir? Like, you know, are your family thrilled for you, or in any way anxious?
No, they're absolutely thrilled. They have been a huge support, and I have, you know, really needed that support actually throughout the selection process. I think the amazing job that family and friends and colleagues do is really to be appreciated. It's really fundamental. But I am so excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people on the ground who support these missions, who make them these missions. Yes, and so yeah, that's how I feel about that. Yeah.
Well, listen, congratulations. Like, it hasn't been an easy step to get to where you are, and obviously something that was a childhood dream, and you've persevered with that as well. Rosemary, it's been lovely to talk to you. Hopefully, whenever you do get that date that you're going to space, we will chat to you back here again on Lunchtime Live.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.